Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Misha Tate, and you're listening to Carson's Corner.
This is Pitch Duran, and you're listening to Carson's Corner. Make sure you stay tuned in.
This is Justin Ray Harvey, Frank Duke's student. You're listening to the best of the best shows on the web and beyond. Carson's Corner with Bob Carson.
This is Bo, the one-man army Taylor, media darling and Midwest champion of the world. You're listening to the only radio show that's hard-hitting, keeps it real, and does not pull punches. Carson's Corner.
This is the coach, Sean Tompkins, and you're listening to the best in mixed martial arts, Carson's Corner.
Okay, let's go. Yeah, g'day, this is Justin Lawrence calling from my backyard in Australia, mate. You're listening to Bob Carson, the finest investigative journalist in mixed martial arts history. Listen to his show. I love it.
Hey, this is Joey Odessa, and you're listening to me on the Bob Carson Show, the show that lets no words barred give a whole new perspective to no holds barred.
These days, it's not much fun at Bally's and Caesars in Atlantic City. The CEO is playing the corporate greed game, cutting dealers' hours, cutting retirement and health benefits, even breaking the law by refusing to bargain. Yet he paid himself $39 million last year, with plenty of perks.
Place your bet.
When Bally's and Caesars play games with casino dealers, it's not fun for anybody. And everybody loses. That's why the UAW Atlantic City Dealers Union paid for this time.
Around the world once again. This is Carson's Corner, and my name is Bob Carson. I was just thinking that intro that I have with all the promos there and the music and that ad, it's like 10, 12 years old, man. It's ridiculous. It's about time I change. I don't know if I could find the time, I'll change it. But in any event, we have a great show for you. Mr. Peter McNeely is going to join us. We're going to call him in just a second. We interviewed him back in 2015, and we're going to talk to him again tonight. He's got some stuff going on. It was very, very good. A great interview the first time we had him on, and I'm sure it'll be even better this time. We also got Bellator 256. I'm going to be watching that. And if we have a little time later, we'll talk about the upcoming UFC event very soon. So without further ado, let's give Peter McNeely a call here. Normally I would have my producer or have them call in, but we're going to try to patch up with him right now. If you want to be a part of the program, you can. The number is 516-418-5570. That's 516-418-5570. All right, let's go here. Okay, last three, and 5-3, okay. All right, let's see here.
Hello.
Peter.
Yes.
Hey, how are you, brother? It's Bob Carson. Good to talk to you, man. We're live on the air.
Bob, good to talk to you.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it. We're really excited to have you on the show again. We spoke to you back in 2015, and our listeners loved hearing what you had to say. I mean, not only are you a great fighter, but you're a highly educated college graduate. You're a historian of the fight game. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm not as good of a historian as I used to be of the fight game.
Yeah, I mean, well, I you know, it's such a fascinating game, and you know, it's been just a major part of your family's life, and so you know, with your experience, it's only natural that you'd have an appreciation for the fight game. And in addition, you've had such a great life story, Peter. I mean, at some point, there has to be a book or a movie about your life. Is that something that you've thought about or worked on?
I have, you know, I've had people come to me, a person here, a person there, but hey, you know, if you're going to do that, then show me the money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like, nothing comes for free.
Yep. Absolutely. And there's been, I mean, a lot of these boxing movies, they do quite well. You know, there was one of Vinny Pazienza, then there was one of, I believe, Mickey Ward, and you know, people.
Jake Lovato. Really,
yes, that's right. I'm sure there's probably others too that I'm forgetting about. You know.
Yeah. Well,
now
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Now, I was just going to say, you came from a very famous fighting family in Massachusetts. Your grandfather was a national champion and an Olympic boxer. Was that true?
Yes. That was a fact. That was Tom McNeely Sr. And I'm sorry to say I never met Grandpa McNeely. He died before I was born. And, you know, but I grew up, you know, since I was about 7 or 8 years old, you know, just going up in the attic and finding my dad on the cover of Ring Magazine, the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
That was, you know, pretty cool stuff for, you know, for a kid and a teen, you know.
And isn't it true that he fought during the open night of the opening night of the Boston Garden?
That was my grandfather.
Wow.
And then my father sold out Boston, the old Boston Garden, a bunch of times. Dad was big in this area, you know. Like, my father fought in an era of one champion, no belts.
Mm-hmm.
One champion in the 8 original weight divisions. And, you know, and I would have to say, you know, smaller gloves. you know, that's, you know, tough things to beat. Also, an era of 15-round fights.
Yeah, before the Boom Boom Mancini fight, you're absolutely right. And your father fought world champions and gave them hell. He might be most notable for his fight with Floyd Patterson. Would you say that's correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, you fight the heavyweight championship of the world. I mean, that's what's going to happen. But what people don't know is he fought Jose Torres, who was the light heavyweight champion of that era and at that time when Dad fought him. But they fought in a heavyweight bout in San Juan, Puerto Rico. So, you know, Puerto Rico back then, the fight was one judge, and the judge was the referee.
Oh, wow.
And you know, they announced my dad the winner at the end, and the place started to go into a riot. And they, oh, no, we made a mistake on the one scorecard. Torres wins. And also, hey. Yeah, that's the That's the way boxing was back then.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it sounds like, you know. I mean, I can't imagine stuff like that happening today. Although,
but,
you know, look. I mean,
but like, in a sense, now, you got to look at it like this. History repeated itself. Cusimano trained and managed Floyd Patterson and Jose Torres. And then, decades later, Peter McNeely fights Mike Tyson, who was trained by Cusimano originally.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So you follow me? It's kind of, you know, in a sense of Cusimano, history repeated itself.
Now, what would you say to people at home listening about what kind of father or what kind of man your father was?
Hey, you know, I grew up, it was myself and my two older brothers and my one younger brother and no sisters, you know, and you grew up in a beautiful, you know, town, Medfield, a little southwest of Boston, and you know what? I was very lucky to have my father and my mother as a kid and as a teenager and a young man. My father was always in my corner in the ring, in my amateur fights and my pro fights. But you know what? Dad was always in my corner in life.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, some people are just not as fortunate, you know, to have that father figure and steer you in the right direction. I remember last time you were on the show, you told me how much he loved Halloween and how you felt he was looking down on you every Halloween.
What, say it again?
You said how you felt he was looking down on you every Halloween.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because we buried him on Halloween.
Yeah?
So every year he looked out and say, boo!
You want to hear something weird? My father also died on Halloween, and he was fascinated with Halloween.
But Dad did not die on Halloween, but we buried him on Halloween.
Okay, yeah, I got you, okay. Yeah. That's an interesting time. You know, it's an interesting time of the year, nonetheless.
Took on a whole new meaning of it for us, huh?
Yes, good point. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, the fact that your story played out like your father's fighting with the champion and giving him the hell, it must have been good for you to have carried the McNeely name and legacy and done your part to add to those things, right?
I'm very proud of being, most proud of being the third generation boxer. But I'm sad to say I'm 52 years old and it ends with me. I mean, I'm not, you know, I have one child, I have a 13-year-old daughter, and there'll be no boxing for her.
Yeah. And I can understand that. And you know, if you had had a son, would you have steered him towards boxing?
You know what? Like my father never pushed boxing on us boys. But you know what? I had to push him to let me, you know.
I see.
To let me box, and I did. Like I'm a different case as far as I only had 21 amateur fights. That's it. You know, like
right.
Mike Tyson had 140.
Yeah.
Rick Bowen 225.
Wow.
Oscar De La Hoya 350. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
I only had 21, while I was living in the dorms, going to classes in the mornings and the afternoons, and every evening, 6 days a week, every evening, I was at the Petronelli Gym in Brockton, the home of Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Wow. Wow.
I walked into that gym 3-4 months after Hagler Leonard. Super fight.
And, holy crap.
And you know, there was no care of head injuries or CTE back then.
Mm-hmm.
I was there from 87 to 91. And it was like a real fight up there every night.
Wow, yeah, I can imagine.
I was lucky that I had this one sparring partner, Gilbert Pierce Jr., who fought Tyson in the amateurs, early amateurs. And he fought Riddick Bowe in the Olympic Trials Finals.
Mm-hmm.
And I sparred thousands of rounds of Gilbert. And you know what? He treated me right. There were other fighters up there going for the knockout. Gilbert was not like that. You know, he was a good guy. Everybody else was calling for the KO in the gym. And in those 21 amateur fights, in only like my ninth amateur fight, I knocked out a number one ranked amateur boxer federation contender and Olympic Trials finals. I knocked him out in the first round. In my ninth amateur fight.
That one
I owe because I sparred for like 5 weeks with Steve Collins, who was a world middleweight contender at the time and became the WBO middleweight champ.
Wow.
Sparred thousands of rounds with him.
That's amazing. I would imagine. Did you see Hagler training? Did you ever have a chance to spar with him?
I did. I did young when I was younger, because my mm-hmm. father knew Marvin. Mm-hmm. My father took us down to. We were staying with a friend of his place in Hyannis, and. So Provincetown, relatively speaking, wasn't that far. And so we drove down there twice and watched him train. As a team. And Marvin had us into the second trip down. Marvin had us in his condo, sat us down on his couch. I still got the picture and I posted it on social media when he passed away.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sad. That was very recently, and it's very, very unfortunate because he was still relatively young and in very, very good shape. So.
Yeah.
And
people, you know, And I don't want to downplay the COVID or the COVID shot vaccination, but you know there's so much like paranoia that people are saying that Marvin died from the shot and Marvin died from COVID, and I heard from you know an inside source that said. Was a heart attack as a result of a bout with cancer. And people just forget that there are so many other sicknesses and diseases out there. killing people daily.
Yeah.
Not to mention the guns on the streets.
Yep. Yeah, it's the deaths have increased, and I think we could talk about whether they're from COVID or you know some of the deaths are overstated as a result or whatnot. But we talked a little bit about the McNeely family name and the legacy and how you've done your part to certainly add to that. From Massachusetts, guys who came up the hard way and tough way, whatnot. What about another famous guy who acts tough from the area, Marky Mark Wahlberg? Do you respect him as a Boston guy?
Yeah. He's a Boston guy, but that's where it ends. His side is tough. Come on, you know. Marky Mark is a funky bunch.
Yes. That's right.
Come on. Mark done a great job when he transferred into an actor and a director and a producer. Good for him. Good for him and his family,
Yeah, did he? I wonder if he ever tried boxing or so many people.
I have not a clue. Not a clue.
Yeah, neither one.
But, go ahead.
You're someone, who really has an enduring popularity in part due to your legendary shootout with Mike Tyson in his prime. Now Tyson, as you know, has returned to the ring. I enjoyed his fight with Roy Jones for what it was worth. It ended up being pretty entertaining. What did you think?
I did too, but from the get-go, you could see that Jones fought to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. Fought to survive. Or like an old school boxing guy would say, he stunk out the joint.
I felt like that too. Although, and Tyson looked good. But yeah. I wonder, do you think Tyson was going all out? Or do you think, since it was an exhibition?
That's all another thing. Now, Mike Tyson, come on. He's Mike fucking Tyson. He'll never be broke. Mike will never be broke. Number one. But now the word I heard was that it was money for Roy. That Roy needed the money.
Interesting.
No. Do I know that to be a fact? No.
Right.
No. But God bless Mike Tyson. He's got. If you look at, go on YouTube and go on Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson.
Yes. Yeah.
And the episode was with Boston comedian actor Bill Burr. Go on that one. And you hear Mike about an hour into it talk real good about me.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
But when a friend of a friend grabbed me and brought me to see him when he was in Boston in the fall of 1998.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the last time you saw him?
Physically saw him in person, but then my phone number's out there like a disease. Mm-hmm. I've had the same phone number for over 15 years, and you were involved in something big when you still get in this day and age. I still get prank phone calls. But,
oh, man.
Hey,
What, like trolls just like rubbing it in, or you know?
Whatever. I don't know, like, you know, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, what's funny is when they're dumb enough to call with their number showing, and then a couple days later, I'm calling them back.
Or yeah, you could post it online and friggin', you know, shame them or whatever, get people to call
them.
Some UFC fans.
I had this one guy that called me for like 6 years from a blocked number. And one of his friends gave me I didn't know these people, but one of his buddies called me up and gave me his number. And I was calling him morning, noon, and night. And he was crying, "Oh my God, I don't know what he's so cold." I'd wake up in the middle of the night and just call him. Torture. Early morning.
Yeah, I guess he deserves it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Hey, did you get amped up seeing Mike fight again?
I watched it. You know what? Hey, I'm 52 years old, and, you know, it was a year ago now, or a year ago March, which basically was right around now, that Mike said he was interested in doing exhibitions for charity.
Right.
And next thing you know, social media, my phone's ringing off the hook, and so then I got a call about a guy, about myself doing one of those exhibitions. On the West Coast. And the guy wanted me to do it with Tony TNT Tucker, another guy who went the route with Mike Tyson. And I said, yeah, let's do it. I mean, it got to a point, that ended up getting blocked because of Tucker's age. Because, he's 60 or 61, and, you know, they blocked him purely on his age. But I actually trained September, the whole month of September, October, November, and I trained right up till December 15th. Then because the holiday season coming, I stopped. But I've got some personal reasons, but I'm gonna start up training again in June.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
I got married. I got a beautiful, supportive wife. Her name is Anna Rita, and Anna Rita's, she's the best. She's a great, great wife. It's very loving and supportive of me and all of my nonsense.
Well, Peter, congratulations on that. And so basically, you have thoughts of competing against it, which means that we could see potentially a new wave of legend fights.
You never know.
There you go.
I mean, I had a history of alcohol, you know, in the 90s and the first decade of the 2000s. I had a history of alcohol and drug user. I've been alcohol or drugs now in almost 5 years. And so, you know what? Like, I feel like I can do whatever. Same as like Mike Tyson. Hey, you come this far in life, overcoming things in your life. Hey, I can do whatever the F I want.
Awesome. I love the attitude, man. Because you're actually a couple of years younger than Mike. I mean, and you're essentially the same age as Roy.
I guess. I don't know Roy's age. I'll be 53 October 6th.
What kind of shape are you in now physically?
I believe a lot. See, I'm in North Massachusetts now. I'm very close to Lowell. I'm in Andover, Massachusetts. And I'm like right near Lawrence, and I've become a big person at a local boxer, Jim in Lawrence. Helping to spread my experience and strength and hope in the fight game. That if I could do it, I'd kill one of them.
There you go. I agree. And do you spar really, really hard?
No, I mean, come on. You know, I had 54.
Yeah.
I had 21 amateur fights. I had 54 pro fights. I mean, if I'm sparring hard, it better be against, you know, another professional, high-grade pro fighter. But that's not what it's about today, because, all right, for instance, my elbows are you know, pretty messed up from all the boxing I did. And can you hear me, Bob?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And my hips are pretty roasted from all the running I did. I ran for decades. I punched the shit out of this big water bag. It's like a teardrop. It's like a big teardrop. And the water is less resistance on your joints, on my elbows, my fists. They become a beautiful thing for people with any type of shoulder or elbow or hand, wrist injuries.
How often do you put the gloves on?
Oh, God, I don't consider it a workout unless I put on the 16th.
Okay.
With a little bit of luck, there's been talk about me possibly being on Mike Tyson's podcast, Hot
okay.
Boxing,
Yeah.
Mike's podcast. And if they want me on, you know I'm going.
Oh yeah, that'd be quite a podcast. That'd be quite an interview, man.
Yeah.
He's had other fighters before. I mean, I think, I don't know if he's had Shannon Briggs on. He's had a bunch of people. And to his credit, that podcast is very, very popular. So he's doing very well.
Oh yeah. Like I said, season one was Bill Burr. It's Bill Burr and co-host Jeremy Piven, the actor.
Okay. You know, it's hard to believe that it's been 25 years since your fight with Tyson last
This
August.
August will be 26.
26. How time flies. Now, at that time, that was the all-time record for pay-per-view when it happened. 1.5 million homes and multiple large amounts of people watching in bars.
Worldwide. It was worldwide.
Yeah,
it was crazy, and I was lucky and fortunate enough. I did the commercial for Pizza Hut, and what many don't remember is I did a commercial. The first commercial I did was for America Online.
I don't remember, but I'm sure if I go back in time, I could probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it on YouTube or is it on one of these?
The America Online is not. Pizza obviously is. The stuffed crust pizza.
That's awesome. You know, how did you get hooked up with that opportunity? I mean, were you personally chosen by Don King to be Tyson's contract opponent?
No. Oh, you mean to fight Mike?
Yeah.
Well, what also people don't know or remember, I was in the house. I was under contract, promotional contract, to Don King Productions since June of 94.
Okay.
So I was already, in the house, so to speak.
Yeah. And you actually defended Don King in the past against some criticism, haven't you?
You always see that. Never see. You always see that. That's great.
Yeah.
But how's it gonna benefit Don to screw Peter McNeely? In the big picture, I was like a blip on his radar. I mean, he's a guy that promoted the biggest fights in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s.
Right. Yeah, he's promoted some of the greatest and most successful fights of all time.
Yeah, yes. I mean, going back to the Rumble in the Jungle.
Yep.
Don King did a lot for this sport, and all I know is how he treated me. I don't know how he cheated Mike Tyson.
Right.
I don't know how he cheated any other fighter except myself.
You know, there was a huge amount of curiosity about this fight because Tyson's return to boxing after he spent a few years in jail. What did you think about Mike going to prison when it happened?
Say it again. The question, the end of the question. Yeah.
What did you think about Mike going to prison when it happened?
Mike was a pioneer in this whole date rape, sexual assault thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really looked at it, the state of Indiana railroaded him into the prison, the correctional facility. I don't care who you are, what you are, doing 30 days in a lockup sucks. Never mind 3.5 years.
Right.
That's 3.5 years of Mike's time. You can't give him back.
Yep.
You can't, no matter how much money he made before or after, can't get that time back. Cannot.
Yeah, I mean, did your experience having some problems with the law make you sympathetic to what happened to Tyson?
I've had minor, compared to any of that, minor scrapes. You know what I mean?
Right.
I've never done time. You know what I mean? Like, that stupid little lockups here and there, but like I said, the best thing for me was, for me to do in my life, and what is going on now today, is not having had a drink or a drug in almost 5 years. The best thing that I did for myself.
Yeah, congratulations on that. I know, how difficult that is, and how much willpower and discipline has to go.
I thank God. I thank God. I never got into the oxys or opiates. because in the Massachusetts area, New England area, the Northeast has been ravaged by heroin.
Yeah. More potent.
I always wanted to go up. I didn't want to go down. as far as, the high. When I was, I thank God. Thank God that never appealed to me,
Peter, we had people email us asking about the bizarre incident where you were accused of being, quote, the getaway driver for a fanny pack heist, which sounds like something made up by a DA.
I was with a guy who's dead today. He's still dead, but we were at a store and he went in, and I didn't know it. He robbed the store. He stuck his hand in his pocket and stuck his finger like he had a gun. And, he gets back in my car. We drive away about 15 miles later. About 14, 15 miles later, we're pulled over and by police with their guns drawn. I mean, this is going back to 06, I was locked up for maybe a day and a half, but I mean, the guy admitted that it had nothing to do with me, that he did it, and That was that.
Yeah, I mean, it's. Could you tell the folks at home that, were you being unfairly targeted? It was just an overzealous, DA trying to prosecute somebody, or
it was so long ago. I don't even remember. But over. Like I said, the guy admitted to it. The guy did it, and that was that.
Peter, last time we spoke, you told me that you felt like you fought Mike Tyson at his angriest when he was ripped and rock hard. Many people might have thought being in jail would make him rusty, but in your fight, it seemed like it made him more dangerous. Do you feel like you fought the best version of Tyson?
Tell you what, I mean, he was ripped. Man, he was ripped like a bodybuilder in that one, too. I mean, he had that boyish look to him the fights before, but now he was a man. And come on, a former undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. And future belt champion, world champion. So, I've got nothing to be ashamed of there. I was not the fighter that Mike Tyson was. I was all right. I was tough. I had heart. But again, a former undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. My hat's off to Mike Tyson. I mean, his life is going really good today.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I think that people should be happy for him and not knocking him down.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I definitely agree. And, you know, before the fight, you had one of the most memorable lines in sport history to me.
I'm Hurricane Peter McNeely from Enfield, Mass. On Saturday night, once he kicked Tyson's ass. If you haven't made your pay-per-view arrangements yet, make them soon. Because you know what happens when I wrap you in my cocoon.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's exactly. Yeah. How'd you come up with that line?
Well, because this fight was so big. They had the East Coast press conference in Harlem.
Uh-huh.
And then they had one in L.A. But the one in L.A., like the one in New York was like in late May, early June of 95. But then the one in L.A. was the one that was 10 days before the fight. So that was the one where I said, I'm going to wrap Mike Tyson in a cocoon of horror. So that's how the rhyme came up with the next one that I just recited for you a minute ago.
That's awesome. How do you go about wrapping someone up in a cocoon of horror? I mean, what are the steps that you have to go through there?
You know what? That's a great question that I do not have an answer for. But I went, it wasn't like when I went right at Mike Tyson, I did that in like 98% of all my other 54 pro fights. So that wasn't something new that I did. So, it all kind of fit together. Not only that, but the name Hurricane Peter McNeely, kind of all fit together.
Yeah, you came out coincidentally. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you came out very aggressive, that was really something that stuck out.
Well, I also felt like that after 3.5 years out of the game, that maybe he's a little off, or maybe he doesn't want this anymore. So I took my shot, I took my shot, and some people say that it was worse. Like my manager, trainer, Vinny, said it was worse. I mean, this is later, like a week or two later, it could be a PD, you went right at him, and you tried. But that fed, right? I forced him to fight. You know what I mean? I forced him.
Yeah, it felt like either you or him could go down in that round. It was like 89 seconds of Hagler Hearns, but with heavyweights.
Well, it sounds longer when I say a minute and 29.
Yeah.
But, hey, there's no stop, and let's try this again. That's it. I did what I did, and, hey, can't turn the clock back,
No.
No pun intended.
Yeah. And I think people are going to remember a lot from this fight. Not just the fight, but before the fight, your speech from the dressing room was one of the greatest of the decade, even much later. If folks, look it up on YouTube. It's got over 600,000 views. It's inspirational Peter McNeely interview before Tyson fight.
Hey, we can't forget about my little brother, Snobby. Or Benfield.
What were you feeling as you said those words? I mean, you were very emotional, dedicating your fight to your family and your forefathers.
Yeah. Hey, that's what it's about, man. Don't forget where you came from.
Yep.
Don't forget who or where you came from.
You also dedicated the fight to one last person at the end, Snubby. Some people were confused about that at the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, prank callers were still calling up to months ago saying, who's Snubby? My little brother. My little brother was 49 years old, 50 years old.
Yeah. Well, you know, listen, you earned a place in history forever with the courage you showed in that fight. I know you're someone who feels a lot of pride in their family history, but also a lot of responsibility to live up to the example set by your forefathers. Like I mentioned, you came from a family of fighters, both your grandfather and father being, you know, proud men who fought. Did you feel like the fighting McNeely men of times past were there with you in the ring that night when you took on the monster Mike Tyson?
You know what? When that bell rings, there's nobody else there with you. It's just you. It's one-on-one competition. It's just you. You just hope the referee might be on your side.
We had the
famous Judge Mills Lane. Let's get it on.
Oh, yes. Does he ref anymore? I don't think he refs anymore.
I don't think he's alive.
Really, I got to check.
I don't think he's alive. I could be wrong. God bless him.
Peter, we have a caller here. We're going to try to connect with him. You're a caller, 817. What's your name in town, and you have a question or comment for Peter?
Hey, this is Jerry from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hey, Jerry. Welcome to the
show.
Jerry.
Oh, thank you. Peter.
How are you, Jerry?
I've got a couple of points. I'm doing good. How about you, champ?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I got a couple of questions, but first I want to say I'm really a big fan of you and your dad. I know your dad knocked the champ down, Mr. Floyd Patterson.
Yes.
I know all about it.
Yes, he did.
And I'm just a big fan of you and your whole family, but there's a couple of things I got to go over with you. And one is a rumor from a very well-known boxer, actually. The McNeely boys, and I believe there were three of you, or still are.
Four
of them, but three of them in this story ran up against the Wahlbergs on the street. And long story short.
False.
No, but listen to what Mark made you call him sir out in the streets in Boston.
He's out of his mind. Never met him.
He said you made him. You called him sir, and you and
he's
said that's
he's
right.
Full of shit. Full of
well,
shit.
That's what he said.
Liar.
Well, look, he may be
liabetic. He's got liabetes. He needs a dose of insulin.
Hey, did you say beans?
No.
Well, let's talk a little about Butterbean then. I heard a rumor you fought Butterbean.
I did. It's all over YouTube.
What happened?
Well, it's on YouTube. Watch it.
Well?
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
Watch it.
You want me to come
it's all
up?
Over YouTube. It's all over YouTube.
I'll come up to Boston.
Come on up.
Where do you? What?
I thought you were from Las Vegas.
Yeah, I'll drive over there.
Yeah, okay, get me up.
You want me to come up there?
Are you gonna drive to Vegas? Oh my God!
I'll come up there. I'll put on the gloves with you.
Oh my God. Hey, I'm still 220 pounds. still 220 bucks. You know what?
But I'm 215. I'll put you in a cocoon of horror myself.
Break it up. Giddy up.
I worked out twice over at the UFC gym, and Dana White was there, and he trained me.
Right. Is that true?
Yeah, did you know Dana White, Peter, because Dana was
no,
there.
No.
Yeah, he
no.
knew him.
No, I don't. No, I don't. Never know him.
Yeah,
never met him.
You did.
Never know him. Knew him. Never knew him. Never met him. Same as the Wahlbergs. Same as the Wahlbergs.
No.
Same as the Wahlbergs. Never knew them. Never met them. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I met Donnie at one of my... I met Donnie Wahlberg at one of my fights. My first fight after my first fight after Tyson. Donnie Wahlberg is there. Quick, hey, how you doing? Quick, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. See you later.
And you were scared of his little brother.
Hey, good luck to that. Good luck to that.
I'll come out there.
Giddy up.
You
Bob,
want me to come out there?
Giddy up, my man.
All right, do you have anything else that you want to say? We got to wrap it up.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of his dad. He's a true champion. He put the champ down, and Peter's a true champion. He's the only man to go straight after Tyson, and I don't care what anybody says. He's the only one to say it and then do it. That's
right.
The bottom line.
Correct.
I gotta admit that one.
Correct.
That is correct. That's facts. Facts are
facts,
and the rest is talk.
That's
the
a fact, Jack.
That's the facts, and the rest is talk. That's it.
Yep.
Thank you, brother.
God bless you, Peter.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right.
Awesome. Well, that was a very, very lively caller. I don't. Know. It's not gonna drive. I mean, I don't understand. It's like a bipolar. One minute he wants to drive and fight, and the next minute he.
Yeah. Hey.
Must be one of those
Bob.
You get.
Bob, you got. You're right. Woo.
Yeah.
Oh.
You handled him very well too, Peter. No
hey.
Question about that.
You know, hey. Deny and deflect.
That Butterbean fight, though, was he a big underdog in that fight?
Listen, it didn't matter. The funniest thing is, now Butterbean got in shape, but he usually fought between 340 and 360 pounds. For me, he weighed 311.
Okay.
And you know what? Couldn't bust an egg. Couldn't bust a grape. Couldn't punch. Not even a little bit. Never had me down. Never had me in trouble. Again, it's all over YouTube. Watch it. That fight was, and as the referee stopped the fight that was never knocked down in, the bell rang. The bell rang. No, they should have let me go back to the corner, break a sweat, come over around too. But hey, once again, there's no rewinds in the history.
Yeah, referee stopped it at 2:59 the first round. It's crazy.
Exactly. Never down, never even close to going down. But fact, couldn't punch.
Do you think there could have been any type of corruption on the part of the officials at that one?
Perhaps. I mean, I can't, Hey. What was the Bob Arum fight? Bob Arum Butterbean was Bob Arum's boy. Put a lot of time and money into him. And Bob Arum did not like us because we had previously had a contract with Don King with Don King. And they were arch rivals, we'll call it. You know? So you get it, you know?
Yeah. I bet you like to fight him, or would you fight him in a revenge match, Butterbean?
Again, you know, here we are. Over 20 years later for that, you know. I mean, come on, you know.
How was he? Did you get an opportunity to meet him? Because I met him. He's a very, very nice guy. What do you think of Butterbean personally?
I don't know him. You know, I don't, that's not my forte, you know, talking about somebody that I don't know.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Hi, how you doing? See you later.
Yep. Well, listen, we're really, really happy that you came on the show, and it's been a very, very great and lively and entertaining hour where we really covered a lot of stuff about your career.
No problem, Bob. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on.
I wanted to pay my respects to your father and grandfather and the Fighting McNeely men who will live forever in history. What's your message to the fans out there before I let you go? And am I right in letting everybody know you sell sweatshirts now?
Yeah, sweatshirts, T-shirts. We have a Hurricane Wear, Hurricane Peter McNeely Wear on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. People love them. You can't not love the one that says snubby.
No. Yeah. Well, we got another caller here. Real quick, let's just take this before we go. Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob, the podcast, the live pod, the play cut off, so I called in so I could listen because it just cut off like about 30 seconds ago.
Oh, you want to order the program? Yeah, we're pretty much, thank you. We're pretty much done, but thank you so much for calling.
Can I ask him one quick question?
Yeah,
go ahead. Hey, Peter, it's an honor to talk to you. Did you work for Ben Stiller on that one commercial?
Yeah, I know. He directed it. I worked side by side with me, him, and Vinny for like eight hours.
So he was your director in that one AOL.
He directed the America Online commercial.
Pretty
great
cool,
guy. Regular guy.
Wow.
Didn't know
and
that.
For you, man, what a life. What a life. What a career, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're the man. You are the man. Thank you.
Have a great night. Bob, thank you very much.
Listen, thank you, man. And people can get in contact with you on social media and Facebook and whatnot.
Yes.
All right, great.
Yes.
Peter, thank you so much. I consider you a friend. God bless you. And let's talk sometime down the road, man. When you actually
– Always a friend. And you got the new and improved – Hurricane Hotline.
That's what I'm talking
Thanks,
about.
Thanks, Mom.
Take care, Peter. God bless
Have you. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. That was Hurricane Peter McNeely. What a great guy, man. You got to love the guy after listening to him, you know? You just got to you're really, really very personal, down-to-earth guy. A guy that has struggled recently, as many people have. Who hasn't struggled? You know, I don't know anybody in my life that hasn't struggled with anything. But, is really dedicated his life to boxing, and I'm a huge fan of his. And I hope that you enjoyed my interview with him. I want to tell you how you can get in touch with me. Go to facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA. You could follow me on Instagram.com/BobCarsonMMA and Twitter, although I don't post that much on Twitter, but it's the same handle, Twitter.com/BobCarsonMMA. Thank you very much to Peter McNeely. We're going to have a political show on Sunday. This is a MMA and political show. We're going to be talking to Sean Lyons, or Sean Hayes, he's running for City Council, District 1 in New York. And, of course, Matthew, the King of Connecticut, Granahan, will be on the program. He's actually involved with Sean's campaign. And we got a lot planned for the show going forward. We're going to be speaking to John Lober. I heard from John Lober. His book is now on Amazon. It's been a while since we spoke to him. I want to talk about a real savage, just an absolute – Lober is a bad man. And I mean that in a good way. He's got some things to say, probably about Tito. Who knows? But that's it, man. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks to the callers out there. And until next time, show some respect.